Go ahead and turn in your Bibles this evening to Jeremiah chapter 1. So in the last time I had the opportunity to be up front and to do a message, I'd done one out of the book of Jeremiah and just kind of introduced some of the main points from the book and kind of wanted to place it in its generic historical context because I want to preach a few messages out of the book of Jeremiah. One of the things I had mentioned is that it is the wordiest book in the Bible, so we are not going to be covering every verse because I don't know that I will live long enough to do that. So, but I do want to cover several points out of the book of Jeremiah, and so over the next however long, I don't know, maybe a half a dozen or so messages, or more, I'm going to try to cover some of the main points of Jeremiah. And obviously the point is to illustrate the parallels between the things that the Lord had recorded in the book of Jeremiah, because I think Jeremiah's life is an interesting one, and it parallels, I think, where we're at as a country. When I mean we, I mean the United States. I think the church is in a considerably different position, but I think there's some interesting parallels there, and I definitely want to bring some of those things out. And obviously, I want to try to bring forth some of those spiritual truths that the Lord has recorded for us in the Old Testament. And the book of Jeremiah is one that is full of them. There's a lot in this book. But before I jump into the next section, I want to set the stage for the time and the circumstances for chapter 1. Now, chapter 1 is the exception to what I had said earlier. We are actually going to cover every verse in chapter 1, but it is because it is imperative to understand as we get into the other subjects that we'll talk about with Jeremiah. To start out with here in the book of Jeremiah, I'd had you go to chapter 1, but just to remind you, let's go over to Jeremiah chapter 31. Just to remind you where, in case you're not super familiar with the book of Jeremiah, looking around, I would believe that most of you are, but just to remind you that this particular passage of scripture in Jeremiah chapter 31, it starts in about verse 27, but I'm going to go down to verse 31 and read through verse 34. This is the book that contains this particular passage. So Jeremiah 31, 31, he says, "Behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not like the covenant which I made with their fathers in the day I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, although I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. But this is the covenant which I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and on their heart I will write it. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. They will not teach each man his neighbor, and each man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, declares the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more." This is clearly a reference to the church. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, great King, we thank you so much for the day, and thank you so much for this wonderful blessing of being able to get together in nice air-conditioned comfort to discuss your word. And I just pray, Lord, that the message I'll bring forth tonight is in accordance with your word, that it is encouraging to the saints, and that as always, Lord, we can leave this place feeling more edified and built up and encouraged than when we came here. Thank you so much, Lord, for Christ. It is in his name we pray. Amen. So, back to Jeremiah chapter 1. So, I'm going to reiterate a couple of things I talked about the last time, but just again, it's really important to understand the time and the circumstances into which Jeremiah was called. So, the title for my message tonight is The Call of Jeremiah. See, Jeremiah is an interesting book because, you know, you often, when you hear the name Jeremiah, usually what comes to people's mind is the blank prophet. If you fill in the blank, most people think what? The weeping prophet. I think that's a misnomer. Because, man, you read through the book of Jeremiah, and I understand that he went through a lot, but I see a guy who wasn't weeping, but I see a guy who was willing to do the tough things, to make the tough decisions, to take the tough stands, and he did it because he understood who he was. And the chapter 1, I think, is like I said, it's one of the few chapters I'm going to cover in entirety, but it sets the stage so well. And so when Jeremiah was called, you know, he began prophesying in Judah in 626 B.C. This was well after the destruction of the northern kingdom. Israel was gone. They had made some really poor decisions, picked on the wrong people, and they paid for it. Well, Jeremiah was called about halfway through the reign of Judah's last good king. I don't know if you remember who that was. His name was Josiah. Interesting thing about Josiah is he was 8 years old when he became king. And he ruled well. And so Jeremiah was called about halfway through Josiah's reign. And Jeremiah stopped prophesying, or at least it was stopped being recorded, around 586 BC. So this guy had been a prophet for roughly 40 years. 40 years of his life he spent prophesying the word of God, speaking forth for God. During his ministry, he witnessed the rise and fall of increasingly worse and worse and more unrighteous kings after his close friend and the last godly king of Judah, Josiah, passed away. If you know anything about the story of Josiah, he tried to stop Pharaoh Necho II. Pharaoh Necho was going north to basically attack and overthrow the already crippled Assyria, and Josiah made a bad choice. And he tried to stop him. And Josiah ended up getting killed on the plain of Megiddo. Well, with the exception of Josiah, none of the kings during Jeremiah's time did right in the sight of the Lord. Over the course of 40 years, Josiah was the last one. Instead, what these leaders did was they worshiped idols. They sacrificed to their false gods, and they even offered their own children on the altar. Jeremiah's life would certainly be one of significant challenges. Significant challenges in which his beloved country would fall further and further and further and further into idolatry and away from God. And despite his best efforts to warn people of God's impending judgment and calls to repentance, the wicked kings of Judah led the people to their eventual destruction. So with this setting in mind, let's jump over to Jeremiah chapter 1. I'm actually going to read the entire chapter. It's a whole 19 verses. And then we'll come back through and I'll chat about some of these things. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 1. The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests who were in Anathoth, in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, the king of Judah, until the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, until the exile of Jerusalem in the 5th month. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I have appointed you a prophet to the nations. Then I said, alas, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak because I am a youth. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am a youth, because everywhere I send you, you shall go. And all that I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord stretched out his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have appointed you this day over the nations and over the kingdoms to pluck up and to break down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. The word of the Lord came to me saying, what do you see, Jeremiah? And I said, I see a rod of an almond tree. Then the Lord said to me, you have seen well, for I am watching over my word to perform it. The word of the Lord came to me a second time, saying, what do you see? And I said, I see a boiling pot facing away from the north. Then the Lord said to me, out of the north, the evil will break forth on all the inhabitants of the land. For behold, I am calling all the families of the kingdoms of the north, declares the Lord. And they will come, and they will set each one his throne at the entrance of the gates of Jerusalem, and against all the walls round about, and against all the cities of Judah. I will pronounce my judgments on them concerning all their wickedness, whereby they have forsaken me and have offered sacrifices to other gods and worshipped the works of their own hands. Now gird up your loins and arise and speak to them all which I command you. Do not be dismayed before them, or I will dismay you before them. Now behold, I have made you today as a fortified city, and as a pillar of iron, and as walls of bronze against the whole land, to the kings of Judah, to its princes, to its priests, and to all the people of the land. They will fight against you, but they will not overcome you. For I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. Now picture yourself as Jeremiah. Jeremiah was a young man. Best guess is somewhere around the age of 20 years old when he heard this, the call from the Lord. And the Lord says to him, go. And he says, but I don't know what to say. And the Lord says, uh-uh. Not going to work. And then the Lord continues to tell him that this is not going to be an easy thing. The Lord isn't trying to pull a fast one on him by saying, hey, you're going to be the prophet. You're going to get all this respect and people are going to love you and they're going to love what you have to say. And they're going to welcome you with open arms. No. The Lord was telling him exactly what he needed to know. The Lord was telling him the truth. Now back in verse 1, we read that Jeremiah is the son of Hilkiah, the priest of Anathoth. You ever heard of the name Hilkiah before? Let's go to 2 Kings chapter 22. Keep your finger there in Jeremiah because we will be back. 2 Kings chapter 22. There's a lot to read here, but just for the sake of time, I'm just going to start here in verse 8. It says, then Hilkiah, the high priest, said to Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, who read it. Shaphan the scribe came to the king and brought back the word of the king and said, your servants have emptied out the money that was found in the house and have delivered it into the hand of the workmen who have the oversight of the house of the Lord. Moreover, Shaphan the scribe told the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest has given me a book. And Shaphan, or Shaphan, however you say that, read in the presence of the king. When the king heard the words of the book of the law, he tore his clothes. Then the king commanded Hilkiah the priest, Ahikam the son of Shaphan, Achbor the son of Micaiah, Shaphan the scribe, and Asaiah, the king's servant, saying, go inquire of the Lord for me and the people in all Judah concerning the words of the book that has been found. For great is the wrath of the Lord our God that burns against us because our fathers have not listened to the words of this book to do according to all that is written concerning us. This Hilkiah, who found the book of the law and presented it to the king, sparked a revival. And during the reign of Josiah, he tried very diligently to, well, restore Judah back to the Lord. Now, Anathoth, just for your information, was just a few miles north of Jerusalem, so not a significant city otherwise. But it was just a few miles north of Jerusalem, so it kind of gives you an idea of where Jeremiah was from. Now, back in Jeremiah chapter 1, here in verse 2, It says, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Amon. Josiah was the 8-year-old when he became the king, and he came to the throne, and he reigned 31 years. He was the last good king of Judah. So this happens somewhere between 640 and 609 BC is about the time frame that Josiah reigns. Now, Jeremiah would have found a kindred spirit in the godly King Josiah, who worked very diligently to try to reform Judah. Now, Josiah's mistake in trying to stop Pharaoh Necho II cost him his life. And in that, Jeremiah lost a true friend. And he was actually a mourner at the funeral. Now, I thought long and hard about this particular verse. And there's no way I'm getting through all my notes tonight, so I guess we'll just have a part two. I thought long and hard about this particular verse. I want you to consider this very carefully, and I'm going to ask the question, and I don't want you to take it the wrong way, but have you ever felt alone? You ever felt like there's nobody in this with you? Now, I'm married to a wonderful woman. She is the best thing in my life. I have never once thought that she was going to abandon me, so I don't want that to be the thought that I have, or the thought that enters your head. But what I do want you to think about is, what will it take to stop you from doing the work? So you remember, Jeremiah was called about halfway through Josiah's reign. He didn't know it at the time, of course. Josiah was about the same age that he was. And these two, because they both had a desire to serve the Lord God, probably had really big plans for Judah. They were probably like, man, you guys, or you and I, we're awesome. We got great plans. The Lord's made you a prophet, and the Lord's made me a king, and we're gonna change this land. And then Josiah dies. What do you think that Jeremiah was thinking? He had been called by the Lord, and the Lord told him, listen, go and speak, right? Josiah had quite a bit of time with Jeremiah. Jeremiah probably thought, you know, well, this ain't so bad. I got the king on my side. Little did he know that every person after this was going to try to kill him, at least to the extent that they were able. I mean, a couple of them were really young and only ruled for a few months. But it wasn't going to get any easier for him. And what Jeremiah understood ultimately, that he had been called directly by God. He had been called by God for a purpose. And despite losing his friend, he knew that he had to carry on. Verse 3, we read that Josiah was eventually replaced by a couple more kings. Just for your information, Jehoahaz, he was the third son of Josiah. He's not mentioned here, but he was made king after Josiah's death, and he reigned 3 months in 609 BC. Then the king of Egypt placed another son, Eliakim was his name, but his name was changed to Jehoiakim. He was the second son of Josiah. So he's going through Josiah's children, right? His sons. And he reigned 11 years. And then he rebelled. So remember, Eliakim was made king, called him Jehoiakim. He reigns for 11 years. And then eventually he rebelled. And then Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had enough. He took him captive to Babylon and placed on the throne at Jerusalem Jehoiachin, Jehoiakim's 8-year-old son, thinking, hey, I wonder if that, you know, it worked with Josiah. Try this one. Didn't work so well. Actually, if you go and you look in 2 Kings and you read about this kid, 8 years old, the Lord said he did evil in his sight. This kid was bad news. So Nebuchadnezzar basically takes him back. It says, nope, okay, bad idea. This kid had reigned three months and 10 days during the last 3 months or so of 598 BC. So Nebuchadnezzar then takes him captive back to Babylon, realizes he's not a good choice, and places Zedekiah, who was Jehoiachin's uncle, on the throne in somewhere in early 597 BC. And then he reigns 11 years until 586 BC. Zedekiah ruled over probably some of the most idolatrous and evil and self-centered and selfish and awful period in Judah's history. And then when Zedekiah finally rebelled, and Zedekiah was a coward, by the way. I mean, he was a total wuss. Wouldn't stand up for anything or anyone. And then tried to escape. He rebelled against Nebuchadnezzar. And so what does Nebuchadnezzar do? He's like, I got to shut this down. Or I'm going to have all these guys done. He comes and captures them. Captures all the nobles. And then kills all of them in front of Zedekiah. His own children, and all of his nobles, all the people who he was trying or supposed to be leading. But Zedekiah was a coward. So Zedekiah gets Jerusalem destroyed, and then he gets to see all the people that he was supposed to care for killed, including his own children, and then they gouge out his eyes, and then they take him back to Babylon. Why do you think they took him back to Babylon? Nebuchadnezzar was not a stupid man. He knew it would be a great example. March him around without his eyes. You know, his eyes all gouged out. I'm sure they didn't clean him up real nice after they gouged him out. Probably left some crusty blood on there and didn't let him get all cleaned up and look presentable. I find Zedekiah's story an interesting one. Just think about it for a second. Zedekiah had a job to do, and yet he refused, was a coward, tried to run, got caught, and then paid for it. I'll just leave it at that. So Jeremiah, though, he continues his ministry to the remnant that was left at Jerusalem. The remnant then eventually basically forced him to go with them when they fled to Egypt, and this is where, in Egypt is where Jeremiah eventually died. According to Jewish custom. Back to verse 4. Now the word of the Lord came to me saying, now I love this part. The word of the Lord, I don't know. If this would have been a podcast, I wonder how Jeremiah would have put it. I don't think it would have been so plain. Like, now the word of the Lord came to me saying. Because when the Lord speaks to you, as a prophet in Old Testament Israel, Old Testament Judah, I'm sure it was a moment that you would never forget. But he says in verse 5, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Jeremiah was called to be a prophet before his birth. Jeremiah was set apart to do the work of a prophet before he was ever born. And the Lord told him this to give him courage and conviction. I mean, how awesome would that be? I mean, Jeremiah, you're a young man, 20 years old or so. You're living in Judah. You can see the idolatry and all the things around you that aren't going so great. You know that Josiah is a good king and he's trying. Think, you know, future's going to be pretty good or not. Don't really know what's going to happen. And then the Lord comes to you and says, I chose you before you were born for a great purpose. You think it changed how Jeremiah saw himself? You think it changed how Jeremiah approached his everyday life? When the Lord comes to him and tells him that I knew you before you were born, and you've been born for this very purpose. Doesn't that sound familiar? Doesn't that maybe ring some bells? Let's go over to Romans chapter 8. Starting in everybody's favorite verse, 28. He says, "And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and those who are called according to His purpose." Now, who's he talking to? Oh, he's talking to the person next to you. And maybe the person behind you. And the person in front of you. But he's not talking to me. You know how easy it is to do that? You know how easy it is to say, "Oh yeah, he absolutely says that about Larry. I can see Larry's purpose. I can absolutely see Katya's purpose, and Linda's purpose, Rain's purpose, and Nolan's purpose. But I can't see mine." He goes on, he says, "For those whom he foreknew," you, if you have a selfie camera, take it out. That's the person he's talking to. "For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. And these whom he predestined, he also called, and those whom he called, he also justified, and these whom he justified, he also glorified." Now, what the Lord said to Jeremiah was pretty awesome. "I have known you for since before you were born, and you have been set apart for this purpose. You're going to speak for me. You're going to bring my word to the world." But you know what he didn't say to Jeremiah? He didn't say what he said to you. He didn't say, "Jeremiah, you are predestined to be conformed to the image of my Son." Does that change how you look at yourself? Should it? Now in verse 6, he said, you can't blame Jeremiah. He said, "Then I said, Alas, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak because I am a youth." Thanks to some of Mike's Wednesday night classes, we understand what youth means. But in this particular case, he was no more than about 20 years old at the time when the Lord came to him. He was a young man. He was about the same age as Josiah the king. Josiah was probably a couple years older. Young people. And sorry, John Moransic, I don't mean people who've been young a long time. I mean young people. You guys sitting in the back row. Hi, and Ed. You're just, no, never mind. You're just immature, Ed. Just teasing. Young people, God needs you. I mean, I'm not that old, but I'm not going to live forever. Nolan's, oh man, he's getting crusty. He's almost 40. I mean, it's all downhill from here, right? Mike Wojtaszewski, you can... Oh, never mind. Mike's younger than Nolan. No, just kidding. The thing is, young people, God needs you. He needs you now. Not 20 years in the future. He needs you now. See, the thing is that Jeremiah didn't think that he had anything that God could use right then. Or at least, he didn't think that he was not expecting the Lord to use him as a prophet in that regard. So, young people, do what you can. God needs you to be ready today to serve in whatever capacity you can. You know, I don't know who set up potluck. Usually I'm fairly involved in that. But I intentionally did not do anything about it today. And you know what? If I understand it correctly, most of the young people did it. There might have been a little bit of direction from some of the adults, and I might be wrong. It's a simple, small thing, isn't it? How many of you enjoyed potluck today? I think it was a lot better being able to go up and down the center with a tape off of a table than trying to fight our way through the kitchen, right? That's real things. They may seem very unimportant, but they are real things. How about taking out the garbages when they're full? Are they important? Are those important things? Yeah, because I don't think anybody wants the church building to look like your bedrooms. Just take the garbage out once in a while. And not just is this for the young people, but it's even for those that are young in faith. I don't want to leave you out either. You know, I know it's hard, especially if you've been depending upon how old you are when you become a Christian, it's hard to change. It's hard to put aside your own will and your own desires and to take God's will and God's desires and make those your desires and your will. It's really hard. I've been a Christian a long time, and it's still hard sometimes. And sometimes I forget that the most important things are the most important things. So for those of you that are young in the faith, you have an important role to play in the growth and progress of the church. You know, remember that Jeremiah's reluctance to be God's prophet came during a time in which Josiah was attempting to reform Judah. It wasn't great, but it wasn't as bad as it was going to get. And Jeremiah, I don't think he realized how bad it was going to get. I don't think anybody would. But it was during the time which Josiah was really trying. And it was a time that was much better and safer than those times that were to come. Well, why do I bring that out? Because today is the day. You know, all you young people, you have a lot to offer. Don't wait till tomorrow to figure it out. Do it today. Thanks, Titus. Do it today. Figure it out. Jeremiah's calling at a young age prepared him for what was coming after his friend and king Josiah would die. And Jeremiah, you read through the book, he consistently did what the Lord required. Even in the face of real, actual, physical adversity. I'm going to pick on the young people for just a second. That doesn't mean that mom and dad made you stop playing Xbox at 9:30 at night. That is not adversity. It's not! Believe it or not! And how about us also older people? You know, I think sometimes we have this mindset that we face so much adversity from the world, we haven't got a clue. I mean, you go to other places in the world, I mean, ask those that have been there, and they're going to tell you that what we have today in the United States of America is probably as good as it's ever going to get. I want you to walk away from this with the mindset of knowing that you have been called. Just like Jeremiah was called to be a prophet, and just like Jeremiah, we're going to face some adversity, and if we haven't already, we're going to face more. The longer we live and the longer this country continues to go down the tubes, the worse it's going to get. I want you to be prepared. I want you to be willing to stand just like Jeremiah did and put the first things first. It's easy to let the little things slip in and out. It's easy to go, it's not that important. Well, I went last week. And, I'm just really tired. Yeah, I'm tired. We're all tired. But what's going to stop you from serving the Lord? Thank you for your time.